Austin joked. He's like, we're going to be the most boring homestead channel. Last week, we're like, start slowly. Don't get animals right away. Yeah. Just get a few chickens. And this week, we're like, say no to animals.
Just say no to animals.
We're not the only ones saying no, okay?
Homesteady shirt.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Was that less energy?
Every week.
Oh, man. It was so funny this morning. I was thinking, like, what are we going to talk about? Not much has happened this last week. And then we started going through it. And
there's always something.
I think we have, like, two shows worth here.
Buckle up. 2 hours later.
Hey, everybody in the chat box. What do we got right now? We got 43. Don't forget to smash that like and share the link. Let people know this is your favorite live farm show. Even if it's not, just tell them that.
We don't encourage that kind of deception around here.
Well, tell them the truth. Tell them it's a farm show that you like to watch live every Monday. So we've been getting some questions. When are we actually doing our live stream?
Yes. I know it's easier if you know it, for me, ahead of time when something is going to be on so you can plan for it. And Austin's different. So I will encourage Austin to post the times when we're going to do the show in advance, maybe a few days before somewhere, send out an email, put it on the website somewhere. We will try to do that.
Well, actually, we do that. So if you're not on the Homesteady email list, I forgot to put a link in the description of this video, but you can just go to thisishomesteady.com and there's a big button. I have such a poofy hairdo this morning.
It's nice.
If you go to the website, click on join. There's a big button there. Click join. You'll get on our email list. And every Monday around noon, we're trying to do the show about 12:30. But we have a farm and lots of children. So 12, 12:30, 1.
Right. And it's usually on Mondays. That could change.
Yeah.
You know, crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, so join the email list. We'll let you know before it happens.
And I will encourage Austin to let people know sooner
than
a half hour before, because some people like that.
Well, now you know. Just count on Monday around lunchtime, and we'll see.
Some people like more advanced warning.
We'll try.
I'm trying, Paul. I'm trying.
We're a good team.
See what I'm working with.
Everybody wants to know, what did we say no to? Well, I guess we said it in the intro, though, so they already know.
Yes.
We blew it.
You. I was like, okay.
But first, on the farm, I mean, we got a lot of things going on the farm. And every week, it's almost like every week right now, we have between the camels and the cows a really exciting update. So cows?
Okay. I'll do cows, because camels isn't super exciting.
Oh, well,
in
cows.
In my opinion.
One or the other.
Cows. For the first time, I was watching Grasshopper as she was eating, and she kept whipping her head around to lick at her side. She'll do that with flies, but there aren't any flies out there yet. And I've seen Luna and both Ladybug do the same thing when little baby calf starts kicking. So I sat there a little bit, and she's still kind of a wild thing. I haven't pulled her aside to work with her too much. Once she's getting closer to calving, we'll work with her more. But I was just sitting there watching her, and I could start to see little baby movements on the side. Rugrats on the right, lunch on the left. So I looked to the right of the cow. I could see little baby calf moving in there.
Yeah, so
that's already annoying her.
That was really exciting to be able to hear, like, all right, we've been getting the confirmation with our tests and everything, but to actually see something moving.
Yeah, see some movements, exciting.
That's a big deal. So speaking of seeing
little things moving.
Little things moving a life. This morning we did something really exciting, and we're going to share that video with you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The guineas.
Oh, yeah. See, here, I thought you were talking about the camels.
Oh, I know. You like a plan. I like to
deviate. No, you know why? You were talking about the little things moving, what I thought of.
No.
Because we ran fecals on the camels.
Oh, that's a very different little thing.
I know. And you talked about it being cute.
We saw some really cute little worms in the camel poop.
We got the camel fecal test results back. Millie's good. Don't have to do anything with Millie. Solomon has what's called whipworms, which are pretty dangerous in camels. In this country, it's an issue people have dealing with camels. So I proactively started treating him because I noticed he was a little, I call him droopy. He was just a little droopy. He was off.
He can be mopey.
Yeah.
Solomon's like...
He's a boy.
He's a bit of a mope sometimes. But there's a difference between mopey and droopy.
Yeah.
Weren't those two of the dwarfs from Snow White?
I don't mopey think either droopy. One of those were. Those were the other seven.
It's been a while. Snow White wasn't my favorite. If you go back and watch Snow White, it's a little bit creepy, too.
Very creepy.
That huntsman.
It's so different than a Disney nowadays.
Yeah.
Where everything's bright and about loving people. And Snow White the huntsman, he was like, had to go cut her heart out.
Yeah, it starts
in a box.
With like a assassination plot and a pig's heart being used to double up as a...
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
Yeah. So camel, Solomon came back positive for whipworms. I had started treating him with the treatment because I suspected whipworms. He had the same thing last year. And it turns out we got the fecal results back and he does have whipworms. A low count, but they don't shed or have eggs very often. So if you do see them in the fecal, it means they're in there.
One of the really challenging things about having ruminants, especially the smaller ruminants, and although camels are definitely not small, they kind of, I think, fit into this camelid world. Also goats, sheep, because they
are... Llamas, alpacas, I would imagine.
Yeah, because they're a prey animal, by nature, they cannot show weakness, otherwise they'll be targeted by predators. So an animal like a goat or a camel or a sheep, as it's being affected negatively by the worms, it's not going to show that super obvious. Because if an animal shows that it's sick, it's now a target. So with your goats, with your sheep, with your camels, you have to be hyper, hyper vigilant. If you're going just by how they look, you have to be really vigilant. And the better thing to do is regular testing, regular fecals.
Yeah, we never recommend worming. But I'll admit it was kind of a panic move on my part. I said, oh no, there's something
wrong
with
them. You mean we never recommend
preemptively kind of worming unless you get the fecal results back. It worked out for us this time. But I believe he's a vet student working with a camel vet in this country that we can send the fecals to. If anybody out there has camels and you want to know where to send them to, send us an email. We'll give you his info.
He's also on the camels?
For worming? I don't know, but I know he is an animal trainer. He's got a really cool Facebook page. He is, I believe, I have to find it out for you specifically. I'll need your phone. He's training yaks, I think water buffalo he's training, camels, and also he'll pull the fecals on them. So we were able to get him to do that. Overnight the fecals to him, got the results back, and we're treating it the right way, and now we know who to send it to. It was kind of funny not having a vet who specialized in camels, and now we do in this country, so we'll be able to figure it out easier.
Yeah, it's part of the learning curve of new animals, figuring out your systems and where to send stuff and where to, you know, who to get. So But Solly's doing better. He's looking better.
He perked up really fast.
Yeah, they are hardier animals.
Resilient.
Yeah, so, yep, he's doing better. And all those cute little worms are not doing better.
Yep, we do, 10 days after his treatment ends, we'll send a fecal again to make sure it really knocked it out. And if it didn't, we'll do the same treatment twice. And our buddy who's doing the fecal said he's never seen them not survive. He's never seen whipworms survive these two treatments. All right. His name's Nick Morrow. And look up his Facebook business page at Hooves, Humps, and Horns. He's got some really cool pictures there.
That sounds like a really good podcast.
Of the train. I know, I thought so too. Yeah. I was like, he could do
Nick,
some YouTube videos.
Start that podcast.
Hooves, Humps, and Horns. And then about our subject we were talking about today, what animals have you said no to? We're getting some really interesting answers here.
Are people guessing? They're telling us what they've said no to.
Said no to a pet fox. Amanda, I think you were right because I've done research into foxes. They don't seem to be easy pets. There are domestic ones, but they're still kind of wild.
This is why this video is called She Said No. My wife...
Because it's a shock.
I hope that my mother-in-law is watching this now or later.
And my dad.
And yeah. Because ever since she was little, every animal, right?
I love them.
All the animals.
And he was asking this the other day, what is it that makes me want animals and different ones and more? I just love them. I love learning about them and anticipatory, like, acquiring of them. I like learning about them and how to take care of them and setting up for them. And I love seeing the babies. I just love animals. And I always have.
Yeah.
My mom's the same way.
Yeah.
And then you add to that having become a mom. So you have those maternal feelings. And when my dad said, hey, I can get some calves for you, I was like,
ooh.
Oh. Same word.
We are, right now, we are very, very much
maxed out, you're going to say, aren't you?
At full capacity.
Full capacity. That's what he says all the time. That's full capacity.
We're like a cup overflowing with animals.
With love.
We've said this on the channel back in the fall, we had a bull here doing some breeding, and bull and the cows got a little crazy, and some
got
of the fencing.
Crazy. No, and...
I was just joking. Like, they're breeding.
They're not even breeding. Just scratching themselves on the fencing. The bull was
crazy.
Massive. The fencing already had small holes, and he would just... Ooh, scratch his side up against it.
And in doing so, just rip a hole.
Huge hole. It's beyond repair at this point.
So our paddocks are, well, our paddocks
don't
are
exist anymore.
Paddock. We have like one giant paddock with dividers down the middle with holes all through it. And then animals just able to slip out.
The fencing situation's awful here right now.
Yeah, so fortunately, that project we've been talking about for a long time, we are weeks away from our big, big fencing project. You'll see a lot from that as we get going there. But... right now, we have no extra place to put anything. And calves, by nature, how old were these calves?
They were a week old from a dairy. So first, for me, when he said, I can get you calves, I said to myself, I said, yes, we will do that. But I'm an older and wiser person now than I once was. And I did ask questions, how old are they? What breed are they, male or female? Have they got colostrum? These are all important things in the calf world, especially if they have had colostrum or not. That'll mean if they haven't, it's very hard to keep them alive. See?
It's very impressive.
I asked
you
questions.
You know, so yes, you're a different person.
And we got the answer, they're Holstein Jersey cross, so they're Hojos, males, little bull calves, week old, and yes, they've had colostrum. Okay, to be honest, if they were heifer calves, I would have said yes.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Well.
I didn't know that. To be fair, so we should say, like a week ago, you were sharing tips on when your husband wants to start a daily YouTube video.
What to do.
You don't want him to. You just say, babe, I'll support you. I don't think it's right, but I'll support you. So what did I do when I heard about two calves?
Here's how you're helpful to me in this situation. Because I didn't know what I was going to do because I didn't know what they were. I hadn't made a decision yet.
Mm.
And then you went through all the reasons we shouldn't. And then this is the nice thing about you is that you talk. If I don't talk, you'll just talk. And you'll say everything. So I don't, because I hadn't made my mind up. I needed some input.
Yeah.
And you just talked about all the reasons why we shouldn't. And then you talked about, you like talked yourself into it then. You're like, but all these reasons we should. Blah, 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 blah.
I love.
So you really just threw all this information at me and gave me a lot to think about.
I love a good pro-con list. I don't know if it's the nature of doing like videos like, should you get pigs? Well, let's do a pro-con list here at the Homesteady Channel. Oh, my wife wants to get cows. Well, babe.
Podcasts to me.
In today's podcast, babe, we're going to go over the pros and cons. Accountant Mike's going to join us.
I mean, it couldn't have been bad.
Would have been great, actually.
I have Luna. She's in milk. I don't know how she would accept two calves. I have a feeling she would be okay with them. She's pretty maternal.
Yeah.
I don't know if she would have enough milk for two calves. I would get two because two's better than one. They have each other for company, warmth, whatever you need.
Right.
There were a lot of milk replacers, not cheap. We're doing this big fencing project. I would have to put two calves somewhere. They'll get out of all our fences.
Cow video.
So, cow video. And then they're both little bull calves, so it's not like a cow I could get attached to. It's one we would raise to about 15 months old and then butcher for beef. I'm not saying we'll never do it. And that's a couple people said, my wife said no to pigs, and now she wants to get pigs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying no to calves forever, but for the next 6 months at least. How's that?
Ooh, I honestly wouldn't even say 6 months is the requirement. For me, it really is, it's all about the infrastructure. I was thinking about when it comes to homesteading, it's like you're walking on a tightrope. You're doing a tightrope walk. Why am I having a hard time saying that? So imagine you're walking down a tightrope and you can walk down the tightrope with just your hands extended, right? Or you can grab one of those giant poles and they kind of balance you.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're walking across the gorge on the tightrope, you also can stack objects on you, depending on how entertaining you want your performance to be. So chairs and people on the chairs and animals on the people on the chairs. So when you're homesteading, the people on the chairs on your head are the animals and the pole is your infrastructure.
Oh.
So you don't want to be unbalanced in how many chairs and humans are on top of your head versus how much infrastructure, how big of a balance pole you're carrying, huh?
Yeah, no, it's true.
And right now, our balance pole got broken and busted, and we got this dinky little thing. We're like,
but we still have everything on us that we had while it was still good.
Yeah, camels and pigs and dogs and all those things.
So
as soon as the fencing project's done, I shouldn't say that live on YouTube.
You know, I do have something in mind that in the future I would like to get.
Oh.
And I'll put the, you know, what we would have spent on milk replacer towards that. Karen's in the comments. If anyone has cow questions, go to Karen. Karen knows calves are not easy.
Mm, yeah.
We've always kept our calves on the cows, and that's really simplified the process of raising a calf. We've never personally raised a calf. And right now, with so many with so many loose ends,
mm-hmm.
as cute as they would be, see, I'm maturing.
You are maturing. I'm very proud. It's very impressive.
Now, get me at a certain time, and I would have said, yeah, give me six calves. Calves for everyone.
I was shocked when I said to her.
Because he didn't know what I had to say.
No, I said, you know, we can. I said my piece. We talked about the pros and cons, and that was that. And I just said, you know, if you want to do it, babe, course, I'm not going to say no. I'll support that. Kay's a farm girl. She handles the animals great. She does a great job with them. She works hard with them. I mean, she could run this whole farm without me, so I'm not going to say no.
not totally. You can't.
Well, you could. I mean, honestly, there's very little other than, like, I don't know. I can't think of one thing I do.
I mean, you're the same way, though. You can do everything I do.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, I have zero reason to say, no, we shouldn't get that, if you wanted to. But the fencing issue is a real one.
Black cloud over us right now. That's what we have to do.
Yeah,
we've got enough until the fences are fixed, and then it's no holds.
And I think that's where you become no longer a beginning homesteader when you're able to say no to livestock because of infrastructure.
Austin joked. He's like, we're going to be the most boring homestead channel. Last week, we're like, start slowly. Don't get animals right away. Yeah. Just get a few chickens. And this week we're like, say no to animals.
Just say no to animals.
We're not the only ones saying no, okay?
Homesteady shirt.
Somebody said no to a zebra. Or their mom said no to a zebra.
Oh. Well, I think I'm with the mom on this one. I think I would say no to a zebra too. I think I would actually say no.
Do you think?
Camels are enough.
Yeah,
let's cover one continent. Are there camels in Africa?
Yeah, Egypt.
Speaking of African animals, we have a guinea.
Somebody did say no to guineas. I think guineas are a love-hate kind of thing. People do say no happily to guineas, especially if their neighbors don't like them.
Guineas are an African animal, and we are going to share with you our guinea candling. We candled some eggs this morning. We didn't know if they'd been fertilized.
The guineas are still young. They're not even a year old yet. So I didn't know how they started laying eggs, but I didn't know if the eggs would be fertilized.
This morning, we took, without knowing anything, is this going to work? Are we going to actually have some fertilized eggs here? We did the candling.
Oh, yeah, there's a nice little air sac.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
So that one's fertile. Right there, see that kind of place where you see the light coming through in the top?
Yeah.
So we know the guinea is down here. So that one's fertile. Smaller ones, oh, there's a nice air sac.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That one looks empty. You can't see through it at all. I mean, you can see through it completely. There's no air sac at the top or anything. So that one's probably
dead.
Yeah, or just wasn't fertile. Difference.
Show us a good one. Fingers are looking. Oop. Here we go. Yep.
Looks empty too.
Oh, look, I see an air sac.
Yeah, you're right. I do see an air sac. You're not wrong. These shells could just be thinner.
I think I see a shadow right there.
Yeah, that's why I'll even this one. Because you could see an air sac there.
Yeah.
So, could be these shells are just thinner.
I think this is one of the reasons why we have a hard time saying no to animals. I think it's the the experience you share, right?
Yeah.
Watching all the kids.
It's this journey.
Yeah, gather around to see, you know, the excitement of, is there any eggs? Is there any fertilized eggs? And seeing them light up.
And that, like, oh. Think of how simple of a thing that is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Eggs, chicken eggs, whatever. Every time we incubate them and hatch them, it's this fascinating, exciting moment.
Yeah, for everybody.
Yeah, for everybody that you're sitting around, like, watching.
And I like to see our older children, over the years, they've become the teachers now. Mm. So they'll start telling the younger ones, oh, look, this. And whereas the older videos of us gathered around the incubator, and candling, we would be explaining everything. We would be saying, okay, see this? And we still do a little bit. But now you hear more and more the older kids teaching the younger ones and like passing on that information. And it's so much fun with every new animal, with every new experience, whether it's little eggs hatching or cow being born.
Goat birth. It's all so exciting.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why you get
into
homestead
life. And here's the advantage I feel like of farming or homesteading is these things you're hatching or growing, birthing, whatever's happening, they are farm animals, homestead animals. So for example, goats. Mm. You have little goat babies, and goats become goats so quickly. But all those boy goats you can use as food as well for your family. My point is, it's not like having breeder dogs or breeder cats who you are like, okay, every single one of these animals I will find a good home for.
The benefit of the homestead is you can eat
some
them.
Of them you can eat. It's true.
Unless your daughter doesn't let you.
And then you just...
Can't eat any goats ever. And I like goat. Goat's delicious.
Oh, but. And see, I visited a farm with a little baby goat the other day.
Oh, yeah. She's already talking about baby goats.
They're so cute. So cute.
Oh, man.
So JB asks, why did you invest in fencing that wouldn't hold in cattle? Doesn't it seem crazy?
That's a great question. You're great. So JB, we didn't invest in fencing.
It wasn't our fault.
Yeah. And now I hope my in-laws are not watching, because we're going to blame them. No, I'm kidding.
No, it was originally designed for chickens.
Yeah.
It's chicken fencing.
Yep.
And it held up great for chickens.
Yeah, it was good
chicken
fencing.
The next fencing we'll be putting up will be for cattle and camels and everything that we have to contain.
Yeah, so we're switching over to a high tensile electric. And like I said, we'll get into a lot of detail with that. But yeah, those experiences, the new animals, I mean, it's part of the excitement there. It's just keeping that balance, right? Keeping, making sure everything's in check. And I think a big thing I learned, especially last year, we had such a busy year on the homestead last year. With COVID, like, erupting and everything being shut down. And then we, at the same time, we did a daily video.
And our son's allergies.
And our baby's allergies and having to grow the food for him and the food for you. Well, we were so busy. It was our biggest year ever of homesteading. We learned a ton. We grew so much food and so many different kinds. It was really, really a successful year of homesteading. But I actually found the experiences like that one there of us, you know, watching those guinea eggs, you know, candling the guinea eggs. I felt like we had less of those moments where we could enjoy it with the kids, and more moments of like me with the older kids out in the fence being like, okay, grab that fencing. No, grab that stick. No, you put that in wrong. Come on. Like there's a balance where if you do too much,
it's not as much fun.
Yeah,
it's not as enjoyable.
You don't get to like, come here, kids, let's learn. Instead, you're like, grab those posts, grab that reel, do this, do that. And I said at the end of last year, I missed those moments, those like come together and enjoy this moment. And not only here on the homestead, for me, a big part of homesteading is hunting, it's fishing, it's being outdoors, foraging away from the homestead. That's still part of what I consider homesteading, even though it's not here on our farm.
Yeah, and we want the kids to enjoy it.
Yeah.
We want them to have good memories of it all.
Yeah.
Do you?
Like you did.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, they work more like you growing up, you didn't have the farm.
No, it was all what I wanted is hobby kind of animals, and I loved it.
And for us, you know, I'm coming from my grandfather left the dairy farm. We've shown that interview before.
I think all our grandparents left the dairy farm.
Because it was too much work.
Like my grandfather did, my other grandfather did. They just... Yeah, they weren't interested in farming.
It was like
that's
too
where they grew
hard,
up, and it wasn't.
And it didn't give
so
back enough.
So it's so different than how we farm nowadays. First
yeah.
of all,
oh,
how
yeah.
much more is mechanized, and we're not doing it to survive. We can go to the grocery store and buy food. It's cheaper most of the time.
And that's what I think we're trying to this year kind of get ourselves back to. Still doing a lot. I mean, we got 100 meat chickens going right now. We do have two calves on the way right now. We did see Luna do a bleed off, so right now we're thinking
pretty sure
Luna's not bred. But we got calves coming. We have, you hinted at something new in the future, maybe. So we'll leave that for a surprise.
Right, it could be a year from now.
Okay, so
some real suspense.
We do have another new animal coming. Maybe we'll save that for next week's video. We'll talk about that. But that way it allows us to have more time enjoying this life.
We weren't even able to get away for a vacation last year.
Yeah.
And when you talk to people about farming or homesteading, that's a big concern for many people is, well, when do you get away? And there are some people who don't want to leave, and they say, well, I don't want to leave. That's why I have all this here, because I love it and I want to stay.
Yeah.
There are other people who still do want to take their kids on a vacation, want to take their spouse somewhere. That really comes down to how you've designed your homestead.
Yeah.
And kind of working in breaks for yourself.
Yeah.
Even having a dairy cow, you can still get away.
Oh, yeah.
There are times when your cow's dry. We will be taking a vacation this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Last spring, fishing is a huge, I mean, it's literally what I tell is my origin story of being a homesteader.
That's your first hobby, right? That little boy Austin was out there fishing.
It was the very first thing I ever like caught and then butchered myself. I was a 6-year-old with a little scaler and I was scaling a bunch of sunnies. And that's like where I learned like, oh man, you can provide your own food. It doesn't come from the supermarket. And last year, during the best time of fishing all year, spring, I went one day. This year already I've been fishing more than that. And we had an awesome morning with the kids. Pennsylvania has this really cool, they call it mentored youth fishing day. So before all the grown men who go out there and hammer the trout streams.
Our son calls them the professionals.
The professional fishermen. Before they go out there and take all the trout, you can take your kids out fishing and
give them a shot.
Give them a chance. And we had a really good day.
Oh,
is something on there?
Maybe.
I got something. Oh, yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah. Yeah, fish on.
Nat, keep it in the water. Oh yeah, swing it around. Swing it over here. All right, what do you got there?
A beautiful fishy. That's why I didn't reel it in so fast. I knew I had something, but I let it.
That is a gorgeous rainbow.
I kept seeing this big fish with like a red stripe like this.
It's a cat.
That's a beautiful rainbow trout.
Can I just pass one more?
Wow.
When I saw half of it, I was like, that's half. This is a huge fish.
That is a beauty. This is a gorgeous trout. Wow.
We have to send a picture to mommy.
We're going to get a beautiful picture of this fish.
Die.
What's your secret? Tell me.
I don't know. I use my sister's pole.
Is that your secret?
I was really proud of my daughter. My oldest daughter, notoriously, unfortunately, every time we go, she gets the little fish.
Teeny, tiny, little, cute little fish that I'm super proud of.
Yeah. Her younger sister usually will catch the big ones. My oldest son is known to catch a few big ones too in his time. But my oldest daughter, she always goes and she always catches the little teeny tiny ones. But she's always such a good sport about it. She just laughs and says, oh, you know, I caught the little one. She's always such a good sport about it anyway. And then to see, like, this morning she caught not just the biggest one, but that's
beautiful trout.
I don't know if I've caught a rainbow trout that big, so.
And we ate it that evening. Was it that evening? A couple evenings later. Filleted those up and the next evening.
Next evening.
Okay. And I like to cook the fish the way the kids want it. They wanted it beer battered and fried, so we fried up those trout.
Trying to keep things balanced. We're trying to keep things in check so that we can enjoy this homestead life with our family and our kiddos and getting out, having adventures here, and enjoying it all together, you know, not like, grab that reel, grab those fence posts, come on, we gotta go.
A different kind of reel.
Yeah.
A fence post reel.
One kind of reel is much more fun to grab than the other. So. Did we have any questions to get to today?
Oh, somebody likes walleye. Yeah, we like walleye too.
We got 150 people live with us today, so thank you all for joining us, and don't forget to smash that like button. Walleye is one of my favorite eating fish. That's if I had to rank freshwater, crappie and walleye, kind of right at the top there. So
yeah, Susan, we said no to calves. Can you believe it? But not no forever to calves.
Right, right.
You did want to talk about your speaking of how we cooked the fish. We've got, Austin's got a new project he's been doing on the weekends.
Yeah, that's been keeping me busy. I'm learning how to, we got a smoker.
You almost said it, shmoka.
Shmoka. We got a smoker, and we've been smoking beef, we've been smoking pork, we have been experimenting with our own, we have our own pork now that we raised and we butchered and everything.
Yeah, and we haven't smoked anything, so our bacon is still not bacon
yet. Or ham. So we were experimenting with, we did ribs the other day. I was hoping to be able to smoke some fish, but the kids, they all like fried fish. So they
it's their preference.
Yeah, they overruled the smoked fish.
Fried fish.
But this smoker is really cool. So what we're going to try to do, we're learning how to use it. It's a pellet smoker, a vertical pellet smoker. And what I'm trying to do is get used to just running the smoker. We've done a couple beef briskets, which turned out really good. The ribs from our Cooney Cooney pigs that we butchered this year were incredible. They were so good. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they were the best ribs I think I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I don't generally like ribs, but these were delicious. The Cooney Cooney meat has been great.
The bacon ribs. Yeah, so when we were
accidentally
butchering those Coonies this year, this was my first time ever butchering a full-size pig on my own. And I was going through and making my cuts and watching videos and how to do this and how to do that. And I wound up making a wrong cut and I lost a lot of the bacon cut I wound up leaving on the rib. And I told the kids, oh man, I'm sorry guys, we're gonna have less bacon because of that. But the ribs will be better. And at the time they were all pretty mad at me. They were all bummed that there was gonna be less bacon. But yesterday when we cooked up those Cooney Cooney ribs, I called them bacon ribs because they were basically a rib with a big old slab of bacon just rendering that bacon juice into the rib meat. And so you bit that and it was just like bacon-infused ribs. Oh man, it was so good. So we lost some bacon, but we had bacon ribs. So.
And that probably contributed to how tasty the ribs were because they were cooking with all that bacon fat on
them.
Oh
yeah. Yeah.
It's like basting with bacon. Imagine.
Yeah.
Anything basted with bacon.
So, do we have any questions
there
today?
Here's a question.
All right, good.
Jenny says, I got 5 chickens with my partner. They're our first livestock. It's a great livestock to start with. Have you ever used chickens to help process compost piles? Also, when do you know that it's the right time to harvest? Yes, we have used them for our compost piles. They're a great tool to use if you want to dig up your garden or go through, you know, overturn your compost. And what do you mean? Do you mean when to butcher those chickens? What kind of chickens are they? Because some breeds will mature faster than others. Like, are they a bunch of Cornish crosses? They'll be ready much sooner than another heritage breed like a Sussex or a Wyandotte or something like that.
You know, I think one of the ways that we often, we're not super into compost, Jenny. Jenny, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So we're not super into compost. I know that's, like, can't say that around some homesteaders, but it's just we're so involved with the animals that things like compost we don't spend a lot of time with. We don't have a good setup for it. I think one of the nice things about having chickens or pigs or, you know, any of these other, you know, animals that you can feed, food scraps, things that you would normally put into compost, is that they are almost doing the composting for you. So like a chicken, they can scratch the compost pile, they can work the compost pile and, you know, aerate it for you and that sort of thing. But if you feed the chicken what a lot of people would put in a compost pile, then you get the chicken manure, and obviously you got to let that age before you throw it on the garden because it's real hot. But it allows us to not have to run a compost pile because a compost pile can be a very, you know,
It's one of those things where it's more complicated than you initially think.
Yeah.
My grandparents always had a compost pile, and they did great with it.
Yeah, yeah. I know a lot of you are going to say, like, oh, what, compost is easy. I love doing compost. It's just for us, we're so busy with all the other animals and going fishing now.
We do keep a pile with all the manure and the shavings that we use, and we will turn that every once in a while.
But for us, the preference before we throw anything in a compost pile is, can a chicken eat it or can a pig eat it? A chicken can turn it into eggs. A pig can turn it into bacon. If we can do that first, then we don't have to worry about the compost pile. The compost for us is kind of like a very, very back of the bus kind of thing. So.
And she has got 5 different kinds: Wyandotte, Sexlink, Orpington. If they're grown, if they're not laying any eggs anymore, if you've got a new batch coming up and you're just ready to downsize your flock in that way, then you can butcher them whenever.
Yeah.
They're older, they'll be tough. So use your Instapot, use your pressure cooker to cook them down, make some beautiful broth. My favorite kind of chicken broth is from nice old laying hen. It's beautiful, the flavor, the color, it's great.
Yeah, the Instapot, we've had, last year we had a lot of really, really tough chickens. Some of our Cornish crosses, we had to go really long with a few of them, and they got really, really tough. But boy, in the Instapot, they just turned, like so much better. So that's a great option, the Instapot. If you do use it, we have, from time to time, when they're on sale on Amazon, we'll share a link with our email list because they are such a nice homesteading tool. So get on our email list, because if they're on sale, usually we'll warn you if we see it.
Yeah, I did. I had an old pressure cooker. It was a small one. Just a stovetop. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
I was always a little afraid of.
That was going to explode.
But they have such good safety features. So even if you see at I don't know what other stores will carry them that have just a stovetop pressure cooker, if you don't want to get an Instapot, a pressure cooker is nice to have on the homestead.
Yeah. So, I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. We have a lot more happening this week, so we'll have some good updates next week. Don't forget, if you want to become a Homesteady Pioneer, there's a link below. Also, we have a link for the Brincia. You saw it in the video, what we use as our incubator. I figured I'd throw a link for that in too.
I also wanted to talk about, speaking of the Pioneer, we've got some shows coming up. I know you talked about with Eli about doing a show.
Yep.
He's a young farmer near us, and we hope to do an on-farm show with him.
Yeah,
He does all sorts of things. He pasture raises chickens. He's got Highland cattle, that's where we borrowed that bull from.
Yep.
He's doing pigs, all sorts of things. He's a really cool guy.
What we're doing now with the Pioneer program, we're doing once a month what we call a round table, where we have everybody join on a Zoom. So you actually get to be part of the show. Last time we talked about business, the episode before that we were sharing plans for 2021. So.
And also there's an author of a book about pasture raising pigs who we'll have on the show.
Yeah, we're working on getting them too.
So if you want to learn more about those Coonie Coonies or IPPs or what other breeds will be good in the pasture, that's a big deal, I think, for homesteads with pigs, because pigs require, especially if you're raising some commercial breeds, a lot of input. Yeah. We feed our pigs our scraps from the kitchen, and it wouldn't
our
be
compost.
Enough. It wouldn't be enough for those pigs.
No,
and our family, there's a lot of scraps.
Yeah.
So pigs require this input. If you can get them on the pasture, pigs are really nice for a homestead to have to raise.
Yeah, no, that doesn't mean you're not going to have to supplement their feed. You still have to buy a pig feed or source a pig feed for them. They can't just eat grass and get big and fat.
I mean, there's a lot of exciting things coming up for the Pioneer program.
Yeah.
A lot of exciting interviews and new things that we'll be adding.
Yeah. So thank you all for joining us for today's show. Next week, Monday, around lunchtime, Eastern lunchtime, we should have the show. But join the email list. This is homesteady.com.
We'll email ahead of time.
We will try. The problem is I don't have the link to share ahead of time. Mm. So I need
So it may be 2 emails.
Maybe I could schedule the live show like a day ahead of time and then send the email out.
We will be missing a Monday this week, though, for a doc. Not this week. A Monday this month for an appointment. So
get on the email list.
Yeah, get on the email list.
That's the best way to do it. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.